What a beautiful name it is. We cannot stop worshiping this Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. This is a small foretaste of what it will be when we continue worshiping the Lord forever and eternity. I saw some of us standing and worshiping, some of us kneeling and worshiping, some of us raising your hands and worshiping to express our love towards this Savior who came down into this world to save us. That is the liberty we have in Christ, the liberty in spirit to worship this God. We are going to continue our series from the Bible. The Bible declaring the whole counsel of God. Bible declaring the whole counsel of God. As the sermon notes are distributed and the sermon slides are getting ready, let us prepare ourselves in reading the theme verse for today's sermon. Can we have the slides, please? All right, let's read Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. We are into the book of Numbers. And we are going to look at probably 10 chapters of the book of Numbers. And there is one scripture portion that I want us to read together. And that is Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. It is called Aaronic Blessing. It's called Aaronic Blessing. Let's all read this together, please. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, all together, please. I want to hear you, each of our voices. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Father, gracious God, as we continue worshiping you by listening to your word, speak to us, Lord. We have come with different frames of mind, different situations that are happening in our lives, probably some disturbances that are going on in our heart of hearts, in our surroundings. Many things may be happening right now, but we are here in your presence, in your house. That name, when we invoke your name, you will bless us. That name, Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus Christ, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We are here to worship you and to see what we can learn from your word, especially from those books of the Bible that we typically don't read very often, especially from the book of Numbers this time. Won't you speak to us, Lord? In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. It was not a coincidence that we are seeing the last verse here that is displayed. So they shall invoke my name. During the worship time, the focus was fully on the name. Invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will then bless them. Aaronic blessing, when we invoke. You know what invoking means? In order to be able to trigger invoking the name of our Lord, Jehovah. And that is what we are here to worship, our Lord, and also listen to his word. We worship the Lord when we listen and obey his word. Did you know that? That is a form of showing forth our reverence towards him. When we hear his word and obey His word. The book of Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible. It's the fourth book of the five books, first five books, which is called the Torah. And the Hebrew names that are given are taken from the first words of each book. And in the Hebrew, it means in the desert. In the desert, because the book of Numbers, chapter 1 and verse 1, starts off saying, the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, or in the desert. And that is how it begins. Just to give you a background of what this is, I think we might have shared with you before, but just to give a picture of what it is. The calendar of events, the Hebrew calendar, began from Exodus chapter 12. There are many things that have happened before that, I'm not denying it. But God instituted the first year of the sons of Israel as the day of Passover, or the month of the Passover. So the first year, first month, 14th day was the first Passover in Egypt, where they had to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, Exodus chapter 12. And on the same day, they exited, or Exodus out of Egypt happened towards the end of Exodus chapter 12. That is the first Passover, that is the beginning of the redemption of the people of Israel, or the people brought out of the bondage of Egypt, in spiritual sense, coming out of the bondage of sin. That is the first year that begins your spiritual life. If you don't have that experience and you're trying to do many other things after that, when you're trying to serve the Lord before being redeemed, that is not acceptable in the sight of the Lord, because He'll say, who are you? You have not experienced redemption in your life, and you're trying to serve me for what purpose? So first things first, make it a sequence, my dear. First, experience the redemption of God. And then they pass through the Red Sea during the next days. And on the second month, on the 15th day, they experience manna, food that God had provided from heaven. He sent food that was in the wilderness of Sin. Exodus chapter 16 says so. First year, third month, arrival at Mount Sinai, Exodus chapter 19. And then at Sinai, a lot of experience has happened multiple times. Around 8 times, Moses goes up and down of the Mount Sinai. He brings the Ten Commandments and the law. Everything happened. The pattern of the tabernacle, everything was done. And in the second year of the first month of the first day, the tabernacle was completed in Sinai, Exodus chapter 40. Second year, second month, first day is the beginning of Numbers. That means Leviticus was completed and we are into the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 1 says, first day of the second month in the second year after they came out of the land of Egypt. So we are where we are. I'm going to put more rows below that towards the end of this sermon, so that you kind of get a picture as to what all happened. The book of Numbers, this Old Testament, Hebrew Old Testament, was translated into Greek by 70 different authors, translators for that matter. It's called Septuagint. So the Hebrew Old Testament was translated first into Greek. And when they translated it, they put names to these books, and to this book they named it as Arithmia. It is called Arithmia, arithmetics. We all know arithmetics. What is arithmetics? Mathematics. In other words, people try to say arithmetics is one of the mathematical principles. Arithmia is translated into English as numbers. Numbers. And today we are going to look into this book of Numbers. There are certain things that we're going to see today from the first 10 chapters of the book of Numbers. Genesis talks about how God chose His people. A nation will come from the family of Abraham. God chose his people in the book of Genesis. In Exodus, God redeemed his people. God chose his people in Genesis. God redeemed his people in Exodus. God sanctified those people in the book of Leviticus. God chose Genesis. God redeemed Exodus. God sanctified or cleansed, in other words, sanctified as to what is the process of sanctification in the book of Leviticus. And God directed those people in the book of Numbers. God gave directions to those people in the book of Numbers. What a way of understanding this. Choosing, redeeming, sanctifying, and leading them, directing them. That is what the book of Numbers talks about. While Leviticus describes believers' worship, the book of Numbers describes believers' walk. Direction. Which direction should I go? Leviticus talks about believers' worship, how they have to offer unto God. Numbers talks about believers' walk. And that is why today's sermon is titled Numbers Walking in the Wilderness. Walking in the wilderness. What should your walk be? What kind of a walk of life that you need to have? And so, this book of Numbers, I don't know how many of us have really read it carefully enough, but we are going through this series of Bible series so that you and I can be encouraged to study God's word in a systematic manner. Systematic word of God. Studying God's word really gives us better understanding of the whole counsel of God. Maybe we have missed certain things. So it's an opportunity for us to study God's word in a systematic manner. And that is what the purpose of this series is as well. Though we might be going slow, it might be worth it for us to fully understand. Everyone in this congregation should be able to fully understand the whole counsel of God to the extent of knowing why this book is there. In what context is this book Numbers written? Do you see that? It's very important. So we're going to look at four aspects from this book of Numbers, chapter 1 to 10. First of all, numbers themselves. There are different ways in which these numbers have come into existence, especially the first chapter and the last chapter of this book talks about numbers. Lot of numbers. It is also called census. You know census? People come to our houses, knock at the door, how many people are in your house? We want to keep count of people, demographics. They want to count how many people are there and what is the population of this people, population of this country, United States. They have a census. I think every 10 years or so, or 5 years or so, they do a counting. How many years? 10 years. They keep counting and give a number, the population of this particular city, state, and the whole country. That is what census means. The word census is summation. Summation. Census means sum. S-U-M. That is what is this particular book talking about. So the first thing, if you see, actually the first four chapters, if I may, please note it down. The first C is counting or census, counting. They were counting. If you read the first four chapters of Numbers, it talks about counting only. Counting, counting, counting. How many people are there? Counting. God intended these people. He told in Numbers chapter 1 and verse 2, take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel. God wants to keep a count of it. Every person is counted. You are counted, my dear. As a part of the congregation or the redeemed people, God wants to keep a count of who these people are. And so, we see a particular set of people, and I want us to give a picture from a hierarchy perspective of the tribes of Israel. I know when we were studying through the book of Genesis, I gave a high-level picture of it, but this is another way of looking at, from the book of Numbers, from the hierarchy of the tribes of Israel. Let's look at it. Jacob, he's also called Israel.
He had 10 sons, and Joseph also was one of the sons, total 12 sons. Levi also was one of them. But Joseph, he was given a double blessing. There were two sons of Joseph, double blessing. Ephraim and Manasseh. So there were 12. So 10 plus 1 plus 2, total 13. We call 12 tribes of Israel. But when we say the 12 tribes of Israel, Levi was set apart. And in the place of Levi, instead of Joseph, there were sons of Joseph that became the tribes of Israel. God had a special plan. And this Levi, God had a special plan too. They were a special people. And from the lineage of Levi came three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These are the three names. I don't know if you have heard about these names. Some people have these names. I know some people whose names are Gershon, Merari as well. And did you know that Merari is a biblical name, a son of Levi? I have met someone, I think I don't know if it was Chicago or somewhere, happened to meet a person by that name. Gershon, Kohath, Kohathites, Gershonites, Merarites. I don't know if you have heard of these. And from the lineage of Kohath was born Amram, and his wife was Jochebed. To Amram and Jochebed, three children were born: Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. So the Levites were there in that lineage as such. Miriam also was from the lineage of Levi, Aaron, and Moses. Most likely that is a sequence as well. Miriam was older sister, taking care of the little Moses when he was put in the Nile River. And Aaron was around 3 years older to Moses. So Moses is the youngest. I have color-coded Moses specially because God had a special plan for Moses to bring the people out of the land of Egypt. But Aaron, I have color-coded differently because from the lineage of Levi, Aaron and his sons were considered priests. Priests who enter into the tent of the meeting, into the tabernacle proper, it's called, where they do offerings inside the tabernacle. The Levites do outside in the outer courts. But the priests, Aaron and the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, they were disobedient. They brought a strange fire and they were immediately judged and they died. And the remaining two sons, Eleazar and Ithamar. And to Eleazar was born Phinehas. Last Friday we were talking about this character by name Phinehas. Phinehas, or how do you pronounce it? Phinehas, yes. But the Hebrew pronunciation is Phinehas. That's how it is typically done. And later we'll see the lineage of them. Just wanted to give you these names. Remember the names: Gershon, Kohath, Merari, Moses, Aaron, and the sons of Aaron. Because it's important for us to... I want to give you a context and understanding of certain terminologies or names so that we can understand it better. So Numbers 1 to 4 is very significant. I tried to study through it in order to be able to try to put it in one slide for us to better understand it. The counting that happened from 1 to 4. Chapters 1 talks about every male more than 20 years old out of all the sons of Israel except Levi were counted. They were all counted. And verse 46 of chapter 1, it says, they were all numbered 603,550. 6 lakh people. If you were to address it in a British language or in an Indian Pakistani way, 6 lakh men more than 20 years old. Just men more than 20 years old ready for war are 600,000. So if you try to multiply it by 4 times for the sake of women and children and all that, it would be around 2 million. 2 million people estimate there could be the ones who came out of the land of Egypt. This was a count that God wanted to have, okay? And then Levites were exempted from counting in chapter 1. And chapter 2 also talks about the same numbers. And if you see chapter 2 verse 32, it talks about The total of the numbered men of the camps by their armies were 603,550. Exact number. To be precise, repeated, Numbers chapter 1, 46, Numbers chapter 2, 32, same number. Same addition. I did it. I was able to see the numbers as well. So if you see here, chapter 3, that is when God says to count the Levites as well now. Chapters 1 and 2, God didn't say Levites to be counted. Chapter 3, Levites were counted. And then some duties were given to those Levites. So now let us see the picture at a very high level. A lot of numbers, okay? This is book of numbers. I have to give you numbers. The whole purpose of this book is numbers, right? So you will see a lot of numbers now. Let us see. Wow, lots of numbers. Lots of numbers. In the center is the tabernacle. Center is a tabernacle. And the way in which, if you read through these four chapters, this is how they are laid out. East, west, north, and south of the tabernacle. The tabernacle entrance is right here. And this is how the sons of Israel are laid out. This is called the camp of Judah, camp of Reuben, camp of Ephraim, camp of Dan. And three of the tribes are living together on each side of the tabernacle. And each of the numbers and the total count of them and the final count of them is 603,500. This is how they were laid. When the tabernacle is stationed, this is how each one have to be laid. God's plan was amazing, not just the tabernacle. Where should people be at what place? The people of Manasseh can say, oh, I want to be here. I want to be close. I want to be very close. I can't travel so far. No. God's intention was they have to be here and they have to take a path. Be it here. And they can't say, oh, why Judah? Why not Zebulun? It's called a camp. Why not call it camp of Zebulun? No. God said it should be called the camp of Judah. Period. And probably the tribe of Benjamin could say, oh, why should I be here? I want to be here somewhere. No. These three tribes have to be together camped. Do you see that? God's plan and intentions. And now within here are the Levites. The Merarites, Gershonites, Kohathites. And at the entrance is Moses, Aaron, and priests. This is how they are laid. This is the layout, not only of the tabernacle, but the people who have to be around the tabernacle also was directed by God. God's direction is precise. He knows where to keep people in their place. And here if you see 3,200 out of 6,200, you might be wondering, God said, let us add the number of Levites from 30 to 50 years old. There were 8,000 Levites 1 month old. One month plus is 22,000. Out of that, those who are 30 to 50 years old are 8,580. So that is what this is. 2,630 are 30 to 50 years old out of the total of 7,500 who are here. God wanted them to plan all this. Okay? And God said, I want you to count the firstborn of all the 12 tribes, non-Levites. How many are there? And they counted and said, 22,273. Okay. How about the Levites? Levites meaning keeping aside the priests and others. How many are there? They counted 22,000. And so God clearly says, I know I said in the book of Exodus, the firstborn of every family should be mine. But now I want to make it clear, yes, they are mine, but when it comes to serving me, I want all the Levites to be the ones who should serve me. So what is the difference? And they say, oh Lord, the difference is 273. Read Numbers chapter 3. This is all numbers, right? There is arithmetic also. There is subtraction as well. 22,273 firstborn, 22,000 Levites. So if you see chapter 3 of Numbers, God says, how many are different? I mean, what is the difference? And then he says, I want to get all the Levites to be able to be taking over the responsibility of the firstborn to serve me in the tabernacle. So the remaining 273, I'm going to ransom them. the remaining of them. So you can see that. So how God was really looking at the numbers. Oh, it is, Lord, why don't you just make it a round figure, 22,000, 22,000, 8. No, he was very precise with numbers. Now, I hope you understand why this book is called Numbers. Numbers are important. Accounting is important. Everything that is brought into the house of the Lord has to be accounted for. It has to be audited. It has to be kept to the cent, to the dollar amount, or to the people, whoever are coming. That is how God's intention is. We are financially responsible. We are accountable for the people as well. That is what I was able to understand, how God is so precise with numbers. You cannot take it for granted that summation is okay, big deal, counting, what's there, one way here or there. That is why we want to be able to audit properly also, my dear. Because we are held accountable to God for everything, for people as well as the things that are brought forth into the house of God. These are the lessons that I have learned out of all of these. How important is numbers? Don't take the numbers lightly. God is serious about numbers. Otherwise, there's no need to put numbers, so many numbers in the Bible. God is after every one. Big deal, out of 100, one sheep got lost. What big deal? 99 is equivalent to 100? No! 99 is not equal to 100. I will go after that one and bring them over. God is concerned about that one person. You just can't say 22,272. No, it should be 22,273. Period. Now you see that? How precise we should be. How much accountable we should be. For each person in the house of God. For each thing that is brought into the house of God. Let us take it seriously, my dear. This is something that cannot be taken lightly. And in chapter 4, it talks about the duties of these Levites. Again, remember I told you the three names, the sons of Levi, Kohathites, Gershonites, and Merarites. What? They're all Levites, no? Everyone can do anything, right? No. God's intentions are each one is given a specific responsibility. When I was reading through it, I was getting reminded of how the Spirit of God gives his gifts to his people, each one different gifts, different responsibilities. And when God has given you that duty or responsibility, do it sincerely, faithfully. Don't look at others and say, why should Kohathites do this? Why shouldn't I do it? God has kept you to do his work in his way, in his direction. That is why I was telling you, right? God chose people in Genesis. God redeemed his people in Exodus. God sanctified his people. And then God used these people. Choosing, redeeming, sanctifying, and then only to be used. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful way to look at the scriptures in this way. Kohathites are responsible for the furniture of the tabernacle. Everything that relates to the tabernacle, starting with the most important one, which is the Ark of the Covenant. They are responsible for it. They are supposed to carry it too. Table of showbread and all other holy items, you know, that are there inside the tabernacle. We have meditated, I think, for different weeks. And the Gershonites are supposed to take care of the decorations. I couldn't think of a better word, but decorations or something that is visibly seen. Visibly seen. You know, wonderful colors. Curtains. You know, don't think that these decorations that we do for the house of God is something that is worth nothing. We are doing it to make the house of God look good. That is why there were so many things that have happened. Curtains, ropes, coverings, the veils, everything. Gershonites are responsible for it. And the Merarites are responsible for those that are not seen as much. The pillars, the bases, the frames. Don't think that they are of low value. They are serving God, remember. If you have everything and there are no pillars or pegs or bases or frames, how can the tent of meeting stand? They are the backbone. But the certain things are visible. And there are certain things that need to be taken care of. When I was reading through it, I thought, God, it is a right walk. How you should walk in your life. How you should obey the commandment of God and do what God tells you to do. Do you know what God is directing you? Do you know what you need to serve the Lord for? And there are different ways in which you can discover the gifts that God has given. Personally, you can keep praying and ask the Lord for it. You can sense it when others who are in the family of God suggesting it. And to be able to pray over you, to use you in the ministry that God has called you for. It is not all the time that everybody should carry the Ark of the Covenant. No! And I'll tell you, we'll know the story of Uzziah. Somebody tried to touch it, that's it. God has intended a direction. Follow the direction, my dear. So that is what the first four chapters are. And chapter 5 to chapter 8 is cleansing. Counting, cleansing. Now again, cleansing is coming up. While he is telling the people to, you know, the repetition of the importance of cleansing or sanctifying is keeping on coming because we have a holy God and he wants us to be holy. And that is what is essential for us to recognize here in chapters 5 to 8, how each one should be very careful in your moral life, how you should live it out, how you should be faithful to God and faithful to your spouse. Read through chapter 5. How God is dealing with adultery, how God is dealing with defilements. He was very clear as to how to handle it. And the law of Nazarites. And how they, those people who have dedicated themselves to the Lord, how they should live. That is mentioned in chapter 6. And that is where in chapter 6, he talks about Aaron's benediction or Aaronic blessing. We will go through it towards the end of the sermon. But we'll move on to chapter 7. How each one in chapter 7 and chapter 8, talking about the cleansing that is needed, how they have to offer themselves unto God. A reminder again, like what was mentioned in the book of Leviticus. And what kind of people should be participating. And the way in which God has clearly said that the Levites shall be mine, chapter 8 and verse 14. Levites shall be wholly given to me, chapter 8, verse 16. They have to be wholly given to me. And then he says, so that is where the 22,000 and 22,273, he was trying to explain to them, the Levites should serve me. At the same time, he says in verse 17, every firstborn among the sons of Israel is mine. And God tries to keep on explaining his purposes to the extent of what age each one should serve him in chapter 23 and when they should retire and everything as well is also mentioned in chapter 8. Now let's move on to chapter 9. Chapter 9, so counting, cleansing, and the third one is camping. Camping. How long should I camp at this place? How long should I keep camping? Walking in the wilderness also talks about camping in the wilderness as well. Camping. What is this camping? If you see chapter 9, the first 14 verses actually refers to the book of Exodus when they had constructed the tabernacle, that they had their second Passover. First Passover was in Egypt, and then the second Passover that happened is referred to in Numbers chapter 9. The first month of the second year, on the 14th day, in verse 5, they observed the Passover. So they celebrated the first anniversary, if I may. The first time they had the Passover, and then they celebrated the redemption work of God every year. And that is why whenever every month when we gather together, we ask if there is anyone who is celebrating their birthdays and anniversaries, and also we say your spiritual birthdays or baptisms, remember them. Celebrate them. Celebrate them more than your birthdays, physical birthdays. Celebrate your spiritual birthday, can you? We all want to celebrate our physical birthdays more than spiritual birthdays. But here, God is reminding them more than anything to celebrate this Passover, which is on a yearly basis. Annually, keeping on remembering. And it seems there were some who were going through some situation in their lives where they had some trouble with dealing with unclean things or death, or even for that matter, they were on a travel on that 14th day of the month, first month, what should we do, and all that. So immediately Moses says, Moses didn't want to make decisions. These are not so regular things. These are exceptions, if I may. Those exceptions, they came to Moses and said, what should we do? These people are going on travel, so they are not able to take part in the Passover. What should they do? Moses could have thought, okay, let me think logically. You know what he said? When I was reading through it really touched my heart. Numbers chapter 9 and verse 8. Numbers chapter 9 and verse 8. It says, Moses therefore said to them, wait, and I'll listen to what the Lord will command concerning you. Wait, and I'll listen to what the Lord will command concerning you. He waited upon the Lord. He asked God for his direction to tell people of exception cases also. There is a standard, but there are some anomalies. How to handle anomalies or exceptions? Even for that, go to the Lord. Don't take your own decisions. Rely on the Lord. That's what God spoke to me. And I want to share with you that. And then God spoke. And he said, for those kind of people, you know what you do? Next month, 14th day, do it. Celebrate Passover. For those exceptional candidates. Only the exceptional candidates. And those exceptional candidates, if they don't, verse 13. But if the man who is clean and is not on a journey and yet neglects to observe the Passover, that person shall be cut off from his people. How important it is to be able to remember the redemption of God in our lives. We remember the redemption of God in our lives when every week when we take part in the Lord's table. And we keep giving exhortations and warnings before taking part in the Lord's table. Some of us don't take part in it at all. So why should I take part in it? God says neglects to observe the Passover. Neglects. Don't neglect, my dear, taking part in the Lord's table. Don't neglect. Maybe there is an unconfessed sin in your life. Maybe there is something that is not working out well with somebody in your life. Set it right. Ask God for forgiveness. But don't neglect to take part in the Lord's table. Please, don't neglect. It is a crucial thing for every believer, just as much God told the people of Israel to observe the Passover on a regular basis. Don't neglect the table of the Lord. At the same time, don't take part in it in an unworthy manner. It is a very difficult part. Oh, if I don't, should not take part in it, then I won't take it. No. Correct yourself. Take part in the Lord's table. Say, Lord, give me strength. I want to set right. Help me to take part in the Lord's table. That is how it is, okay? And chapter 9, verse 15 onwards talks about camping. And when I was reading through it, I thought I should read this completely. Because you have to hear this carefully. I want to read it aloud. These verses from 15. Listen to this carefully, my dear. Everyone. Now on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and in the evening it was like an appearance of a fire over the tabernacle until morning. Okay, this is a known thing. So it was continuously, the cloud would cover it by day and appearance of fire by night. Now listen to this. Whenever the cloud was lifted from over the tent, afterwards the sons of Israel would then set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. At the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out. At the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remain camped. As long. This is the direction of God. How long should I be? Lord, how long should I camp? How long should I travel? Camping, traveling. Camping, traveling. Camping is like a resting place. You know, when you're on a journey, you find for rest areas. There's a word called resting place, by the way, in the book of Numbers. Then I thought, wow, the way in which this country has put some names is very wonderful. Rest area. You are going, but you are camping. Not even rest area where you don't camp there, but you kind of take rest. So here we see, verse 19, notice this carefully. Even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. You don't go by your own. You have to wait for God's direction to go forward. If sometimes, verse 20, the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle according to the commandment of the Lord, they remained camped. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. If sometimes, verse 21, the cloud remained from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted in the morning, they would move out immediately, start moving. And if it remained in the daytime and at night, whenever the cloud was lifted, they would set out. So their eyes were fully focused on the cloud. The pillar of cloud by night, pillar of fire by night. Their eyes were always on that cloud for direction. They wanted to go in the direction that God wanted to take them. The wise men, they had a star, and that star guided them to the point where the star stopped in a way to tell that this is a place. Go. God directs. Star is like a GPS. We were looking at the devotions as well. God's positioning system. How to travel in our directions. Wonderful when I was reading through it. Verse 22. Whether it was for 2 days, a month, a year, that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. When it was lifted, they did set out. At the command, verse 23, listen to this very carefully. Verse 23 of chapter 9. At the command of the Lord, they camped. At the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the Lord's charge according to the command of the Lord through Moses. What a wonderful sentence this is. Verse 22 says, whether it is 2 days or a month or a year, you wait. But wait upon the Lord. Don't keep looking at down. Look at the cloud. Maybe you're going through something where you're waiting for God to fulfill something in your life. Verse chapter 9 and verse 22. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle staying above it, the sons of Israel remained camped. They waited upon the Lord. When should we travel? I don't know. Tomorrow morning, again. Is the cloud still there? Okay, we are here. Next day morning, is the cloud still there? Okay, we'll be here. God is letting me move on or no? Lord, should I go or not go? Give me the direction, Lord. Give me the direction in my life. Maybe you're struggling through finding the direction of the Lord. Book of Numbers reminds us that you need to wait upon the Lord for His direction. Wait upon the Lord. May the Word of God, through His Spirit's guidance, wonderful counselor, we have meditated upon it. He is the counselor who will give you direction, my dear. If you are looking down here and there, maybe the cloud has left and you haven't left. Or the cloud is there and you started leaving. Both are not acceptable in the sight of God. When the cloud goes up, you travel. When the cloud rests, you stop. So there are certain decisions in your life probably. Maybe a marriage decision. Maybe a job decision. Whatever kind of decisions. Are you waiting upon the Lord? Whether it is 2 days or a month or a year or multiple years. Can you wait upon the Lord? But don't wait so long that you miss on God moving. God is going ahead. And if you are still saying, Lord, I'm waiting, Lord. I'm waiting. Look up. The cloud has moved. Look up. So your waiting should be looking unto God, waiting on His word. Lord, speak to me. God can speak to us through various ways, my dear. God can speak through children. God can speak through a message on the radio that you're traveling on. God can speak to you through a sermon in the church. God can speak to you through a song that you hear. God can speak to some signs on your way. God has spoken to me. God has confirmed His will to me when I was driving that He showed me a sign on the road. Did you know that? As long as we are sensitive to God, saying, God, I'm waiting upon you. Speak to me. It's not that, God, I'm going to open this page today. Speak to me, Lord. Don't try to twist the arm of God and say, speak to me, Lord. Be open. On that day morning, maybe God, you didn't hear the specific direction of God. Maybe after closing your Bible, you got ready, started driving. God might speak to you on the way. You see, that book of Numbers talks about the direction of God. And finally, carrying. Chapter 10, carrying. What is this carrying? Chapter 10 talks about camping is staying 2 days, 1 month, 1 year, waiting upon the Lord. The moment the cloud is lifted up from the tabernacle, what should you do? You should pack up. You should pack up your tabernacle. It is a mobile tabernacle. Did you know that? Portable one. Portable tabernacle. The other day we were trying to find some portable, equipment for these various events so that we can carry it along. We can't keep pulling things from those that are connected to the wall. Portable. So now what should you do? Not one person carries everything. Be available. Is there something that I can bring? We saw that last night. Multiple vans filled with the things to carry it along to bring it back to the house of God. Numbers chapter 10 talks about the carrying. The carrying. And before that, I just want to finish this table. The table that was mentioned earlier. The first month, 14th day, second Passover in Sinai, Numbers chapter 9. And second month, first day, end of Leviticus, Numbers chapter 1 and verse 1. And second month, 20th day, the cloud lifted up from Mount Sinai, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 11. For the first time, the cloud was lifted up. After the installation of the tabernacle, God's presence was there in Sinai. God told in the second month, tabernacle was completed in second year, first month, and cloud lifted up in the second month, 20th day. 1 month, 20 days, they had to wait. To be more precise, they did not know that they had to wait so long. Every day was a waiting day for them. Lord, is it today? Is it today, Lord? That is how they waited upon the Lord. And then in the second month, on the 20th day, the cloud was lifted up from Mount Sinai, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 11. And this is how they had to carry the things of the tabernacle. There's a sequence for it. Did you know that? In the front, Judah, the camp of Judah, should travel. This is a traveling directions also. Walking in the wilderness, this is the sequence. Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And then the Gershonite and Merarites should carry the tabernacle material. The curtains, coverings, pegs, boards, and all. They're all going to carry on carts. Cart. You know what I mean by bullock carts, etc.? They're going to carry it. They were offered also. They were given by the other Israelites as gifts to these Levites to carry the tabernacle material. And then Reuben, Simeon, and Gad should be following them. And after Reuben, the Ark of the Covenant, in the middle, if I may, almost in the middle, Ark of the Covenant and all the furniture, the Kohathites should carry along. They'll be holding the poles of the Ark of the Covenant and they'll be walking along. Their journey in the tabernacle, in the wilderness also, there was some specific direction that God gave. And then Ephraim and then Dan. So the Dan should not say, I want to go in the front. No. This is a sequence. God's direction is God's direction. Follow the direction of God. God, where God has placed you, God has a purpose of being able to do that. And there would come a point of time where the Ark of the Covenant will come forward when they cross the River Jordan. We will study that later. But this is throughout the wilderness. This is a sequence that they have to follow. This is a train, if I may. These are the cars in the train. Each one should follow. What a specific way of handling things. When Jesus did the miracle of feeding 5,000 people, he said, sit in lines, order. We need to maintain order. When it comes to the people of God, we need to maintain discipline. We just can't keep willy-nilly doing anything we want to. We have to obey instructions to the extent of following the path. Otherwise, imagine 2 million people. How can they really be so discipline to follow because God gave them instructions and they obeyed the instructions of God. And that is how they left the Mount Sinai from the wilderness of Sin. They go to the wilderness of Paran. That would be their next week, God willing. We will look at the wilderness of Paran. From Egypt, they come down into Elim, Rephidim, and Mount Sinai. They spent a lot of time at Mount Sinai. Now they go all the way to Paran. Ultimately, they have to go to Canaan, and we'll see how long it takes for them to go to Canaan. Book of Numbers talks about walking in the wilderness for quite some time. Quite some time. In conclusion, Numbers chapter 6, the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. When God blesses us, He protects us. God is saying, tell Aaron and your sons and his sons to proclaim this blessing. The Lord bless you and protect you or keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you, grace to be given upon you. And that grace came down into this world. That is none other than Jesus Christ. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Grace and peace. Two wonderful statements of the letters of Paul. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. That is Aaronic blessing. Repeatedly used in the New Testament by Paul the Apostle. But it started off with the Aaronic blessing. What a wonderful way in which we can understand. When we invoke the name of the Lord, we say, the Lord bless you, Yehovah bless you, and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The Prince of Peace came down into this world to give us the direction. He's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is how we can understand Jesus Christ and Christmas, even through the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless this word. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, let us take part in this table that is set before us. Just like the people of Israel experienced Passover every year, the first day of the week, we experience the table of the Lord, the Lord's table. If there is anyone sitting here who does not know Jesus, remember one thing. He has come to give you peace. He has come to show grace upon you. He has come to bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord make His countenance upon you and give you peace. He wants to give you that. And those are all fulfilled in Jesus Christ, my dear. Are you going through trouble in your life? Are you going through lack of direction in your life? Read through the book of Numbers. It talks about listening to God's word and obeying the commandment of the Lord. Maybe that is what is needed to get the proper direction from the Lord. Maybe we are hearing but not obeying. Or maybe we are not even hearing the word of God. Spend time. Read God's word. Be sensitive to the voice of God. He might speak in different ways through His Spirit. He might speak through people. He might speak through circumstances. And He's a God who aligns His will to His word that He has given us. May the Lord bless us and enable us to take part in the Lord's table in a worthy manner.